I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Welcome to C3 Church Global Podcast. I am Valerie McIntyre, and I'm here with two people that I absolutely love. Kathy Green, who is a senior pastor of C3 Ride and on the global team, and Amanda Aincliffe, who is in C3 SYD, and she's also on the global team. So you got some global sisters here. And we wanted to get together. We're continuing this conversation that I started with Pastor Chris Pringle on transitions. No matter where you are in life, you're going to go through a transition. I wrote a blog post that kind of spurred this idea because I was looking at transitions through 10-year cycles, 20s, 30s, 40s, and just sort of talking through some of the big highlights of my life. And us three ladies, along with others, are going through some interesting transitions. We're heading into some we've had. And it just struck us that there are other people out there in our world that are also going through transitions or would, again, be heading into them. And being equipped with strategic ideas is great, absolutely. And you're going to hear some here today, and you're going to get some resources even. But understanding the heart and how this affects us personally is huge. Because the thing that can take you out when dealing with a transition, because it's always about a death, and you're often just stepping into the unknown, you're going to need some love. There's going to be some self-care that you're going to need. There's going to be some strategies just on the personal front that can really, really help you get through. So why don't we just dive right in? I'm going to start this question out for both women. Welcome, ladies. I'm super excited to see you here, and I can't wait to hear your gold.
Such a privilege, Val, to be here with you and Amanda.
Thank you, Val. Nice to be with you, Kathy.
Same. We're going to just start off with the first question that I have is, you know, change happens. So sometimes it's great and we're excited about it, and then oftentimes it's kind of scary, and we're kind of stepping in with like just a toe in the water. So what, both of you, let me start off with, let's start with Amanda. What is something as you face change in your life, and you've said to me that you've, you know, had many moments of change. What is something that you've, you know, and as you're facing new change, what do you look forward to with the changes and transitions, and what is a big challenge for you? So why don't we start with the positive? What do you often look forward to?
Well, I love a new phase of life. I quite like visioneering. I get excited. I love to sit with my journal and look at potential possibilities. Even recently, I got out my prophetic book. It's a book about this thick that's got all the prophecies that have ever been spoken over me. And I just went, oh, okay, Lord, what are some unfulfilled prophecies that have not yet been outworked in my life? So that actually stirred me. But there's also, when you go through transition, for me, one of the biggest things that I go through is a season of grief. I think I grieve a whole lot of things. I grieve the letting go of a responsibility that I've loved. I grieve letting go maybe of a team. I grieve letting go of a sense of calling and purpose that I've had in that season.
So actually, you just said something that I've been thinking a lot about, and I'm going to direct this over to Kathy. Grief is real, by the way. We all, you know, we go through it through stages. Yeah, it's really real. Really real. But Kathy, you know, God calls us to do the work right? And once you're called, it's kind of forever called, but that can look different in different seasons. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned when we were chatting that whether we like it or not, often our identity can get connected to the work that we're doing as part of that call. And when we have to go through a transition, whether we want to or not, we can often feel like we're losing our identity and there's a loss of significance. So can you talk to us a little bit about how you deal with that when you face a transition?
I think loss of significance is a very real part about any kind of change or transition or letting go of something, because we become very used to who we are in that role. We enjoy it. We love it. And so what happens when you move into something else and you're no longer important? And I think we need to prepare our heart for that loss of significance so that when it comes, it's not a shock and we react well. So I think any change, the goal is to come to a place of acceptance and to live your life well. So I kind of like transition for us is in the future, but I'm already preparing my heart for this loss of significance when, you know, you don't sit on the front row, people are asking for your opinion, what am I going to feel like in row four? And so just preparing your heart for what that looks like and knowing that I'm still called by God and he still has very exciting things for me to do, but rather than for the many, it's probably for the one.
Oh, that's interesting.
I love that, Kathy. Val, I'd love to just speak into that.
Yeah, build on that. Build on that. Yeah.
I've been really pondering on a scripture. All the days ordained for me have been written in the book. I recently reflected over my life and noticed that there were significant changes every decade. So my 20s were quite different to my 30s. My 20s were pioneering, getting married, having a first baby, starting a business, being a missionary in the Philippines. In my 30s was when God said, time to grow up, and I had to go through all my counselling, and my foundations weren't strong, so that was all got built. And then 40s was a different season again of being an author and a coach, and then 50s it was leadership. So it was like, okay, Lord, what's going to happen when I hit my 60s? But recognizing that the gifts and call are irrevocable, that basically who I am, the gifts that I have, it will never change, but they will find different expression. And so being ready for a different expression and, I'm starting to dream what might that expression look like in the future as well, because I'm certainly not prepared in my early 60s to give up work. And having a role, but I know that it will look different, but who I am is not going to change.
Totally. And actually, you said dreaming, and we know that scripture about young men and women will have visions, and older men and women will dream dreams. And there's also, it's been said as a woman that our 50s, we become invisible. I remember when I was in my 30s, and a lot of my friends were in their 50s. And some of the women said to me, in your 50s, you become invisible. And I remember hitting my 50s and thinking, uh-oh, this is the invisible stage. Well, it wasn't that. And now that I'm going into my 60s, I can really feel the difference in the world that I'm in, the way I'm perceived, et cetera. And I feel like I may have skipped over that part in the 50s, but I'm going into a new season in my 60s. And, it's interesting, right? And I look at that scripture and I think about visioning versus dreaming. So I've always been visioning all these years around my world, around my call, around my business. And now what does it mean to dream dreams? Like, what does that look like? So I don't Kathy, or can you start us off? What does that actually mean for you? Because it's an important scripture, and it seems like it's an important one for us and for a lot of other people that we're connected to right now in C3.
I think for me, the dream dreams, like for me, in my 50s, that's when I came into my own. I was invisible.
I'd agree,
I was called
Kathy.
From a very young age. I was called from a young age and was invisible up until about 55. And and I think that's good for people to know that, you, like for many of us, we heard the call of God when we were, I heard the call of God when I was 14. And but that promise was there, and all that time the Lord was doing things in preparation. But I think this next stage for me, this dreaming of dreams, for me is seeing the next generation. Like really seeing, I was at a prayer meeting for our youth, and they had an all-night prayer meeting. And I just went in the last hour. Like I thought, I'm not staying all night in church with them. I went to bed and came for the last hour. But when I was praying for them, I felt the Lord say to me one word, and it was eclipse. And that word was that this generation will eclipse even what we have done. And I was so full of excitement. So for my dreaming of dreams, it's for the next generation. So they're the ones I'm looking at and praying for. And I'm so excited for them. And I've even started to pray beyond. I've started to pray for the generations not yet born and the ones who will lead after I've gone to be with the Lord, because I thought I can't intercede then, but I can now. So.
Come on.
Oh, I love that.
That's gorgeous.
That's beautiful.
Wait, do you want to build on that, Amanda? Because I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
I'd just like to reflect on what Kathy said. I heard some very different advice, Val, that a woman actually reaches her peak in her 50s, and that's when she more comes to her, she blooms in her 50s. And I definitely think, I was like Kathy, I felt very hidden for probably 2 decades. And I even had prophecies, you know, you're in a hiding place. So, you know, leadership for me really didn't really crack until the 50s. And that scripture, you know, I really had to ponder that scripture, the difference between vision and dreams. And I think vision is connected to strategy and focus and goal setting and things that can actually be achieved. Whereas dreams, I agree with Kathy, I think they're bigger and broader. And I was thinking of the Hebrews 11 people of faith who died still with their dream. They died with what was being carried in them, a prophetic word from God. And I love that visions and dreams are both encounters with the Holy Spirit. But I do think a vision is more something someone's going to run with and we get it done, and that's what to the young. But, however, I'd like to say I think I've still got some vision in me in my 60s. And I'm sure you do too, Val.
I've got some for sure. And I did hear about the invisible woman at 50s when I was living in New York City, and that may have something to do with it. Yeah, it is interesting. It's like, I mean, 61, I'm turning 61. Business is still going strong. We've had some very fruitful years in ministry. We've got a new season in that. And it's just interesting to sort of look at yourself and, you know, I've always heard like as you get older, you kind of never feel like you're actually aging in a way, or your mind still remembers yourself at 20. But I have thought a lot about the vision versus dreaming, because I actually wanted to be able to dream well. And if I need to set down my visioning piece for, then I want to take this next season well. I want to actually, to the extent that I can, I actually want to be age appropriate. I know that sounds kind of silly, and I know age is a thing and seasons are things, but God made me a certain way, and He's made all of us a certain way. And I want to make sure that whatever season I'm in, I'm managing it as well as I can. So I have a question for you both, and we'll just kind of keep the ball rolling in order. Kathy, we learn from others. There's nothing better. You know, you're a mentor, you're a disciple maker. Who have you seen, or how did you see someone do transition really well and you thought, you know what, I like what I'm seeing here, and I'm going to emulate that if I can? Is there any a person, a couple, a situation that comes to mind?
I think we watched Gordon and Joe Moore transition their church, C3 Bridgeman Downs, and we thought they did that well. And so that was quite inspiring to watch them. And Gordon and Joe were very open-handed, and so we kind of enjoyed that journey watching them.
Yeah, they're legends. They're absolute legends.
We also watched them.
You did. You did.
Yeah, we watched. We even had a phone call with them both, and we also had a phone call with their the new guys on the box, Andrew and Wendy, and that was very helpful to hear both generation conversation. Yeah. Yep.
Well, Simon and I talk about that a lot, because when Gordon and Joe decided to step down, I think people were surprised because they felt like they probably thought there's a lot more there, you know. But they were very intentional about the time that they stepped down. They had good reasons for it. And I think they set themselves up for a really beautiful next chapter. Right. And I think we've seen the fruit of that. They're still doing their call. They're still out doing ministry. But it has changed their personal world a bit, and, you know, and in a great way. So, but Amanda, you actually were very much deeply involved in the transition of Pastor Phil and Chris from Oxford Falls. And talk about a big one, because that's the flagship. It has been the flagship of C3 for so many years. So from a practical leadership standpoint, can you share some of the strategies that you put into place to make sure that their transition out of that role was done with honor and done well?
I think it's a good thing to recognize that change and transition are slightly different, that change happens in a moment or a fairly quick, it could be a day, it could be a week. So there was a moment of change, but the transition actually is going for years. And there's the pre-change and there's also the post-change. And I think sometimes we just can look at the transition or the change moment, or we can look at even the pre-transition, but there's also the post-transition. So I would say our church is in a transition stage of possibly 8 years. Four prior, four after, while the Pastor Alex and Jessen embed their culture, their strategy, their vision. So a couple of practical things we did was we had a team of people. It did take a team, and I think it's best to have Pastor Phil and Chris had, you know, a huge involvement in that, but the practicalities of the transition was put to a team. So Pat and I looked over things like timelines, and when the actual change moment was coming up, we did communication cascades of who do we need to communicate with and when, and we even wrote scripts. We had our general manager look at all the HR implications. We had our events person looking over the actual honouring moment, because we wanted, our heart was that Pastor Phil and Chris would have that change moment feeling absolutely stupendously, wonderfully honored. And so there were, once again, multiple moments of honoring. There were with the board, there was with the church, there was with the exec team. There were many different ways of honoring. We planted trees on our property as a beautiful, I love the marking of a transition moment. And the tree planting was the marking of the change. And I think that was really special.
Beautiful.
So we also had our overseers touching in, which was John and Dan at the time. And Greg French held a very strong role of emotionally supporting Pastor Phil and Chris through the transition as well. So it took a team.
That's great. Well, it sounds like it was incredibly well planned out. And I think sometimes people aren't thinking through the various layers. I like what you said about writing scripts, about creating a cascade of comms so that with one thing happened and the next thing happened. And actually bringing HR into the mix is smart right now, right? It would always be actually, because it's actually a kindness, right? It's a kindness to all involved to make sure that everyone's feeling good about what's happening. So thanks for sharing that. That's really helpful.
Hey everyone, I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planting churches all around the world, in major cities, villages, towns, and we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches, and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting His magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out, and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor. And we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global, and there you will find a giving section, and you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Okay, now you're both married and you have awesome husbands. Kathy, your husband is a legend and a wild man. Simon says to me, Richard is a true genius, because Simon's just got his master's in theology, and he's, you know, he's like, but Richard, he's like, he's a different planet altogether. And then Amanda, your awesome man is just this really calm systems. I'm sure behind closed doors, you're not so calm because nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's steady. He's a systems guy.
He's a scientist by nature.
Yep. Oh yeah. Right. Right. He's got these two, like, he's got these two many, he's multifaceted. Mm. Let's just say that. Mm. So, how do you feel, and I'll add something up front, how do you feel men and women handle transition differently? So for us, Simon has been on, started the church, you know, he was right there at the beginning with Pastor Phil and Chris, he and Helen. So he's been lockstep with them for well over 40 years, going on 50 years. They knew each other from New Zealand, like he came over with them. And he was probably one of the first people involved in global. He was a global secretary forever. And he's been on that global team in different roles for many years. He's overseen two regions, Europe and America. And he's going to be making some big transitions over this year. And that's a big deal. And so he's 70, but he's got a lot of oomph in him. So early days, I just said, hey, babe, you know, not wanting to inherit a situation where he may not be thinking things, some of these things through, because men are different. And I just said, you know, we got to start thinking about maybe talking to someone who can help us through this transition. Because I don't want to be the one, and I'm sure he doesn't, to like, we want to help each other, but we want someone who's, or someone's, you know, buddies who know what they're doing, have been through this, and can give us great solid advice, right? So someone close in terms of counsel maybe, but not so much in our friend group, let's just say, right? So I think men often don't think about it the same way women do. So I would love your perspective. Like, Kathy, let's start with you. What's your perspective on the differences in how women and men process transition?
Well, I can only speak for Richard and myself. Richard is the kind of person who has big plans or big visions and big dreams. They're huge. They're enormous, which the difference between him and I is that that's terrifying for me. And for him, that gives him life. You know, he's so alive when he's got a 15-year plan. And I just would like a 15-minute plan for now. But So the difference between Richard and myself is, I mean, we are anticipating transition in a few years. So we're a few years off, but Richard's had his head there for many years, thinking, what will it look like? How will it work? What would need to happen to get to that place? Whereas I'm a little bit more, I mean, for both of us, Richard's quite globally focused and I'm quite C3 ride focused. And that's a difference as well, because he's like, his thing is, how do I transition the world? but
Yeah.
Mine is, how do we transition a local church? And so I think one of the things for a husband and a wife in this situation is not to be terrified of the other and to accept that's the way they operate, this is the way I operate, and to accept that with the combination of the two, it's a really good combo. So, yes. So living with a genius has is sometimes quite complicated, but always the adventure. I've never not had an adventure. So, yes. Yeah. I've been to countries I didn't even know how to spell.
Oh, and maybe I wouldn't, yeah, I would still not know how to spell. I know that before I move on to Mandela, I know that you told me that you purchased a little like hideaway place. And was that part of like the strategy that a man needs a place to go, a little cave? Like, any thoughts on that? Because I was intrigued by that.
Yes. Yes, we did. That was really the Lord that really helped us to have a little hideaway place. And it's good for Richard because that's where he goes and he's able to go fishing and make cheese and do all kinds of things. And so he's able to slow it all down and really see the future that we want to really embrace and love and enjoy. And so that was the Lord really positioned us that way so that there was another space for us, another place, not just home and work and the office and church, but a place that was totally separate from everywhere else. So the Lord was very good to us.
That's cool. That's great. And Amanda, I can't wait to hear what you think in terms of how men and women handle transition differently.
Yeah, I'm a bit like Kathy. I don't want to generalize on behalf of all men, but there's probably an observation I've made about men in leadership that leaders tend to just be so running in what they're doing that the emotional side of things can take a little while to catch up. So Pat and I went through a fairly major transition about 4 years ago when Alex and Jerson came on because we were executive pastors of over our there was about 8 locations in. And so that was a letting go of a role. And we dealt with it very differently. So it was interesting to see how we both dealt with it. And I could foresee that it was coming. And so I spent time with my journal. I spent time with God. I spent time praying through. I spent time thinking about what I might miss with Pastor Phil and Chris and then what I need to take hold of and just kind of process the change beforehand. I got a coach. And I walked through it with her. And then I found 6 months after the transition, that's when Pat needed to have a coach. And so I was kind of up front and he was that side. But we probably learned through that we do it different. And we're already starting to have the conversations now about future transition and what that might look like. And recognizing too that, and I think this is a good thing just to say that I will have dreams and things that are still just for me. He will have some things that are just for him. Together we will have some things. And then together we need to find the fun. So, you know, Kathy's got her hideaway. We're thinking about buying a camping trailer so we can zoom off and go for adventures. So I think it's,
I love that.
It's a bit of everything at the moment.
That's awesome.
Just in discussion phase.
I love that. I love that. I mean, because spoiler alert, Simon spoke to Gordon, and Gordon said they bought a caravan, and they are ready to hit the open road. And I was like, dang, can we do that? And he's like, no. And I'm like, so and I talked to someone else. I was talking to Kelly Tebbett, who's going to be on a future one of these. She's like, yeah, we're working out our plot of lands. You know, I don't want to tell too much now, but. And I went to Simon, babe, they're buying land and they're going to homestead it up. And he's like, oh, and I'm just like, what are we going to do? You're going to be weaving. I'm going to be on the other side of the room writing, maybe? I don't know. Like, it's just fascinating, like, how, to your point, you don't want to generalize. In our world, I don't anticipate we're going to get a caravan or but anyway, I would be interested in those things. Before we move on to a question, I think that's really going to be huge for people to hear from your perspectives. I actually want to like kind of loop back, Kathy, to something else that you mentioned a while ago when we were chatting. That in, and this goes back to the practicality. So Amanda shared some practicalities around transitioning at Oxford Falls with Pastor Phil and Chris. Richard would definitely, and yourself would definitely cast a big shadow, right? So as you're considering who's next in that role, you talked about passing the baton and like that sort of making sure that whoever's next, you know, you pass the baton well, et cetera. So can you give us some, just some, you don't have to name names or anything, but can you give us some practicalities, particularly where you're coming from on how to do that well, given that your husband is such a apostolic leader? He's, you know, he is. So how do you help him, right, in this sort of passing the baton as you're looking at into the future?
I think if we learn from runners who run in a relay, not that I do, but I can observe it, there's a season where the runners are running along at the same pace as one another. So one goes to hand the baton to another, and there has to be this time when they're both at the same speed to successfully pass the baton. Then once they've done it, the one who passed it stops running and watches them in the distance. And I think we can learn a lot from what needs to happen for the leader who is passing it on and the leader who's taking it into something new. Yeah. And I just think that there needs to be that season where we're running along at the same pace and you're handing. So for me, when I think about transition and handing on the church, I'm thinking of like meetings, as an example, meetings that I lead now that I can pass on now while I'm still here, so that I can pass it on and we can run along at the same pace. I can coach and then I can step back. I think one of the important things is to walk away and having my heart as the previous leader, which I will become, that it will look different with them. And they will do it differently, and that's really how the Lord wants it to be. I would also say there's a difference between a leader who plants a church and a transition leader. They're two different, entirely different personality types. A planter has a specific something in their spirit because there's a lot of things to do when you plant a church. But someone taking over a church has to be a completely different leader. So when you plant, you're starting. When you're taking over a church, you basically have to please everybody at some point. And so it's a different type of leader, so it needs a different type of leadership. So that's the one thing I would say is this running alongside for a certain amount of time and then leaving it with them and accepting that a new leader will do things differently and accept that and actually embrace that. Rather than be resentful, oh, they're not doing it how I would do it. Of course they're not.
Yeah.
And isn't that wonderful that they're not doing it like me?
So good.
That's a beautiful way of looking at it. And Amanda, you've probably experienced that at Oxford Falls, right?
Yeah, definitely. Pastor Phil had this picture, and he would actually publicly do this where he would put his hands on his arms and move them across like this to say this is what transition looked like of leadership. And it was the holding on but also continually releasing and letting go of responsibility. And the practicalities of that was that for a while Pat and I were running the exec and Pastor Phil gave that to us, but then there was a point where we gave it to Pastor Alex. And that happened a year before the actual change moment. So that was an important part of Alex growing in that ability to set the vision, the culture, but also decision-making, problem-solving. There was a lot of learning in those times. From the a personal point of view too, Alex and Pastor Phil were meeting every day. I think it was pretty well every day at 5:30 a.m. to pray together on the beach.
Yeah.
And so Pastor Phil was also kind of downloading a spiritual dynamic or culture in that, you know, just that commitment to be totally dependent on God, which Alex really caught.
Oh, yeah. You can, and you can feel it. But I think what's interesting, and it goes back to what Kathy was saying, and why I think it's so vital for those people maybe listening in on this to hear that you do the pioneering leader might be is different than the leader coming up to take over. They're going to be different in many, many ways. Could be temperament. It could be the way they vision. It could be their orientation in terms of goal setting, et cetera. And it's really critical that, like Pastor Phil has done, to let that person lead and let them go, right?
Yeah.
And that's hard, you know? I mean, I don't know that it's, I don't want to speak for Pastor Phil, but, you know, that's just that's a big deal to be able to watch the thing that you birthed practically, right? And give it and pass it on to your son or daughter in the spirit and to be good with that. Right. So that's something for, I think, anyone who's going through this transition or someone who's going to be taking over to have the, you know, the sensitivity to understand how that person's feeling, you know, through this experience, which leads me to my next question. Dun, dun, dun. In transition, you know, like it can be a little bit like you mentioned grief, Amanda. How are you, let's start with you, Amanda, how are you caring, how do you care for your soul at times like this, like during transitions, like what are some of the go-tos that you employ as you're caring for yourself?
I intentionally book times in my calendar to go and process and just to hang out with God. I know my recent holiday even said, honey, I got to go somewhere on my own for a couple of hours. And so I went and sat by a creek, a little rivulet. And my go-to passage at the moment is the Lord is my shepherd, that he makes me lie down in green pastures. So I do it literally find myself lying down on green grass by the sun. In the outside is a place where my soul is refreshed. But I also often carry my journal. Now, my journal is not something I do every day. It's something I do in specific moments of life where I go, I need a look at my heart and go, what's happening in my heart? And so I take my journal and I write and I pray and I seek God for, I've always believed if I can just get one promise from God, one word from God for whatever season I'm going through. I love Ecclesiastes where it talks about the different seasons. There's 28, I think, mentioned, and half of them are positive, half of them are negative. So just getting a word from God for the season that I'm going through, whether it's a scripture, whether it's a, you know, a prophetic word that will, it guards my heart, but it also is like an anchor to my soul. And so I rest in that promise.
Great. That's really beautiful.
And I catch up with a couple of friends who know where I'm at. I only need one or two. Yeah. That's my soul.
That's huge too. Like making sure you have that backup that you can trust, that you can kind of like, because I don't know about you, but you know, Simon doesn't need to hear how I'm feeling all the time, right? I need my others. Kathy, so what do you do to like make sure that your soul is getting the nourishment that it needs, especially as you go through big transitions?
Well, much the same as Amanda, actually. I know that it's the Lord who cares for my soul. And so I talk to him about it a lot, about the future, and just allow myself to imagine what it will look like. Recently, when we were on holidays, I went to a different church every weekend, and it was fun. I loved it. It's good to see what's happening in the body of Christ. But just so, this is what it's like when you're just in church and you're not the senior minister, and it was fun, actually. But I did notice that I still did a head count. So I thought, okay, some things are going to be hard to let go of. But just that excitement and of what God will do. Because I was reading John's Gospel, and at John 12:26, Jesus says, those who serve me must follow me. And I thought, oh, my goodness, the Lord's drawn a distinction between serving and following. And we can serve and not follow, and perhaps we can also follow and not serve. But our ultimate purpose is to continually follow Jesus all the days of our life. And so he has a plan for that. Good. And couple of years ago, Pastor Phil had a prophecy for me. And in it he said, Kathy, you may not have influence with people, but you do have influence with God. And as soon as, I mean, that's not a prophecy everybody wants to hear, is it? You know, you don't have influence with people. But but as soon as he said it, my whole spirit leapt, because I had been praying that day about my future. And I thought, wow, the most powerful place in all of the earth is in the presence of God. And so that's the place where the Lord will put me. My voice is heard before the Lord, the most important place there is. So I'm excited for what the Lord will do, and he constantly nurtures my soul in the journey.
Wow. Amen. That's beautiful. That is gorgeous. What a beautiful thing to see, or rather wordy, or both. Well, ladies, I have learned a lot from you. I have taken a little bit from a few things that you've said. I've listened to everything and loved on it, but there's a few things that I'm going to go actually put into play. So I'm really hoping that others who might be listening in will glean from your wisdom and your experience and your faithfulness and your service all of these years. You are pillars in the faith. You are wonderful women in C3 and beyond. So thank you so much for joining me. And I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Check out more content on the C3 Church Global Instagram and YouTube page. C3 is a movement of many hundreds of churches around the world, Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. So wherever you are around the world, I encourage you to find a C3 church near you. See you again soon.